The last time that we spoke, I gave you an assignment. I've heard from several people, and I want to thank everybody who replied to choose the hymn that they thought, the melody that they thought worked best to Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat. I have to say there was no consensus. although several people thought that the melody that was in the hymnal would work just as well as the one that they had chosen. So I guess we'll use the one in the hymnal. So imagine, if you will, that musical notation has not yet been invented. And that hymn that we just sang, you've been tasked with putting down on paper because you want to take it back to your church who doesn't know that hymn at all, and you want to teach it to them. How would you do that? Would you think, math is the answer? I would not. But tonight we're going to talk about the fact that music is math. It's mathematical. On your handout, I want you to take a look at what's on your handout, because it'll help you as I'm talking things through. So the length of time that a note is played is called the note duration. And we identify that note duration by the types of notes that are on the page. So a whole note is the longest note that's held out. It generally takes up the whole measure. And a measure is a way that we divide music into parts so it's easily understood. A half note is half the duration of a whole note. Makes sense, right? A quarter note is one quarter of a whole note. Are you getting the math? Right? So it takes four quarter notes to equal one whole note in general. Notes that are shorter than a quarter note have a flag on them. So an eighth note has one flag, and a 16th note has two flags. So let's talk a little bit about time signature. So you can see those numbers on top of each other, 4 over 4, 3 over 4, 6 over 8. The time signature tells you how many notes are in one measure and what kind of note gets one beat. So in the first example, 4-4, four notes, four beats to a measure, and a quarter note gets one beat. In the next one, three beats to a measure, a quarter note gets one beat. In 6-8 time, an eighth note gets a beat, and there are six notes to the measure. The hymn we just sang was in 3-2, I believe. So if those notes seemed like they were going past faster than usual, that's because a half note got one beat, and we're used to a quarter note getting one beat. So if you were lost, that's probably why. One final lesson about note duration. If there's a dot after a note, that lengthens the note by half as much. So let's say a half note, which normally would get two beats, has a dot after it, it would actually get three beats. So all of you folks who aren't mathematicians are completely confused now, right? If you want to take a look at some of the hymns and the hymnal with time signatures, I wrote some of them down for you. The Day You Gave Us is in 3-4, and that's hymn number 407. So three beats to a measure and a quarter note gets one beat. There actually is, I found one in the hymnal that has no time signature. That's number 515. So every once in a while, you're on your own to figure out how many beats. All right. On the other side of your handout is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, one of my favorite hymns. And we're going to try to teach this to you. And I say try because The baseline is challenging. If you look on the third, the middle score or the middle line that starts ransom, healed, restored, forgiven, there are lots of accidentals. Remember we talked about sharps and flats, and a sharp raises that pitch just a half step. So this is a challenging line for basses. I would like the basses to start with that line and go to the end. So if you would start on ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Mr. Bechtel, will you play it once so we can hear just that line? You got it, right? Let's try it. It wouldn't hurt for everyone to try it with the basses. Here we go. Let's do it one more time and then do the next line, the following line, if you would, Mr. Bechtel. Everyone? I think we should do that again. Same thing. Those two lines, everyone singing the bass line. Getting it. Let's do everyone singing the bass line from the beginning of the hymn. Here we go. Good. Let's try just the basses. I need to hear if you've got it or not before we can go on. So just the basses. If you're sitting next to a bass, you could hum in their ear to help them out. So the whole hymn, just the bass line. Truly blessed with excellent basses. Thank you very much. That's a tough line. And I thought, boy, if I can't get the basses to learn it, then we just have to stop. So thank you. Good job. Let's hear the tenor line along with the basses. So the tenor line from the beginning, I don't think it's quite as challenging. Basses and tenors. I think we're blessed with wonderful tenors as well. Excellent job. Let's do it again. Let's add the altos. And if we could hear our pitches, bass, tenor, alto. So altos, did you get your pitch? Are you ready? From the beginning, basses, tenors, altos. I'd like to do that one more time, because I think it's interesting to listen to all the things that are happening in the baseline, right, that we don't often hear when we're singing the hymn on Sunday morning. So, let's stick with the first verse. Basses, tenors, and altos only. Here we go. Let's add the melody. Mr. Bechtel, I would like you to not play unless some part needs your help. So pitches. Sing the first note for me, praise. Here we go. Lovely, absolutely lovely. I realize that you're learning it, and when you're learning it, it's easy to slow down as well. So just keep that in mind. Try to push yourself along when you're singing a cappella. That's great, but that's all we have time for. I could actually stand up here and listen to you sing all five verses without any problem. So since this is the last formal lesson, and by the way, I don't think it will be the last time that you'll be given an opportunity to learn a hymn in parts. So we're going to try to make time to teach hymns to you and learn them together. But since it's the last formal lesson, I wanted to have some concluding remarks. We have come a long way. We talked about harmony versus unison, singing in parts versus singing all together. We talked about dynamics. We mentioned tempos. We talked about intervals, the distance from one pitch to another. We've talked about major keys and minor keys, and then we talked about the indexes in the back of the hymnal and how we can change the melody if we know if we use that metrical index for the words that were written. So you should hopefully get the point that music doesn't just happen, right? It's not a happy accident. It is absolutely designed. From the development of musical notation to the design and structure of instruments that we use to play the music, to the drafting of the poetry, to the composition of the music itself, to the mystery of how our bodies can actually sing notes, which I still find fascinating. Music is by design. When you are singing a hymn, you're not only singing biblical truths. You are singing a testament to the fact that not only music, but the world we're in was made, designed by a creator. And you are singing the undeniable fact that the world we live in and music both exist by design. It is designed by the one who made us, and has a plan for us. And music is part of that plan. Thank you.